Well, for the first time in what I would say feels like forever, we actually have a race recap. So Terry Pierce is joining me today. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Joe?
Good, good, good. I do want to start this off by saying this is Monday evening, and we got a pretty wicked storm blowing through the southern tier right now. So if we lose each other, well, that's probably why. It's been
Right. Yeah, I want you to know it is raining pretty good here at my shop. So I'm guessing that we will not race tonight. If anybody asks, we're not going to race tonight.
So Saturday night's racing that was sponsored by the Elkland Moose Lodge, Trowbridge Construction and Excavation, and Welsh Well Drilling. Even though not a nightly sponsor, I do want to give a shout out to Lowry Family Farms as they donated I couldn't tell you the amount, but a whole slew, I'll say, of hot dogs. And we sold them for a dollar, and I think that went over pretty well.
It did. I think last time I checked, I think it was a little ways after intermission before they ran out, I believe. And I know there was over 100 pounds of hot dog that they brought, so that's pretty good. That's pretty good night right there.
That is, and you know what? I was pretty excited. I heard Greg Turner ate six. I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed. I thought that he would have had more than that, but you know, I guess he had more than me, so I'll give him credit there.
Right. So I wanted to point out that I had seven. So
Oh, man.
I knew that Greg couldn't keep up with me. I knew that he would try, but he couldn't do it. Yeah, so 7 is still the record. I don't think it'll be beat either. I don't believe.
Not this year. All right. Well, I think we could, I guess we can get it. Oh, and I do want to give a shout out to Lampman Electric too. They came into the only time this has ever happened, they came into the booth, the announcer's tower, and said, "Hey, here's $100. What can we put it on?" And so they put it on the Quad C winner. So the winner got an extra $100 courtesy of Lampman Electric. So pretty cool deal with them. I've never had that happen before, but I was happy to take money.
Definitely. Yes, definitely. That was very nice of them to do that. That's nice.
So I guess we can go right into the heat races, unless you got anything before we get to that. But I think it was pretty, we started on time, and the sun was shining on a Saturday, which was pretty rare.
It was. And instantly, probably an hour before the races started, we started getting phone calls from some guys that were coming from other tracks. It rained out, so we were excited about that. And yeah, the car count was great on Saturday night too. So.
All right, so first heats out, they were the hometown excavation crate sportsmen. Tim Guild, Kenny Peoples Jr., and Blake Lawson picked up the heat wins. Nothing really to talk about there, I don't think.
No, it was great to see Blake come back, see him back there.
The Southern Tier Custom Rush Crate late model, Steve LeBaron and Brian Knowles. Brian Knowles picked up a heat win in the Tony Kelly car. So it was nice to see him back and nice to see that car back on the track.
Right, so I can tell you a little bit on that is, so he sold his car, and they came, picked it up, and took it, and there he sat with no ride for the 2025 season. Well, they housed Tony's car is housed right there out of Brian Knowles' garage, out of his shop. So they work on it there every week, and it sits there. And Tony is not a weekly competitor; he shows up there just once in a while to run. And he said to Brian, "You know what? Why don't you run my car this year and." And we'll see how we can do. So that's what they're doing. They're put all their efforts into that car, and they've been working on it and getting it up there. And I think that was his first night out in it, I believe, wasn't it? But he looked good in it, so think
Absolutely.
there'll
And
be more to come.
I think Brian would he's gonna drive a car pretty well. He's former track champion. You sure know that whole family knows their way around the place.
Right, definitely.
So in Singer Performance Modifieds, Dayton Brewer, Carter Crooker, Russell Morseman, they all picked up heat race wins. Then we got the IMCAs. Earl Zimmer, I didn't even know he had a IMCA. Longtime street stock driver. It was nice to
So
see him.
he just bought that. That was his
Oh.
second, only his second time ever driving it. So yeah, and we'll get into it with the feature, but it was a heartbreaking night for him, that's for sure.
Yes, it was. Jacob Ingham, he picked up a heat race win as well. Then you had the Ladd Road Auto Hobby Stocks. Brandon Conklin, Joe Berzel picked up the heat race, and for the second week in a row, we had one go over. And I think, with all due respect to Joe Berzel, this one was a little harder. Brian Austin went for quite a ride.
Yes, he did. I don't know how many times he rolled it. Did you figure that out?
No, two, three, maybe.
Two or three. But I can tell you that when I got to him, he was fine. He was alert. He was fine. The roll cage did its job. But I will tell you this, the roll cage is hurting. That's for sure. It definitely tweaked the roll cage quite a bit in that car. They're definitely gonna their work cut out for him if they're gonna bring that car back again. The roll cage actually kind of went through the roof on the front and the back, both. So lucky, very lucky. It was a very scary instance, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I talked about it a little bit in the announcer's booth too, that the announcer's jinx came back and got him, because we were talking to, well, the four of us were going at it on Facebook, me, you, Conklin, and
Yep.
Birdsall, about who was going to ring the king of the bull ring. And of course I picked Brian Austin, and then he flips over in the heat race. So
Right.
I think if he wants to yell at me, he's got every right to do it.
There you go.
Wicked T Quad C's, Downtown Nick Brown. It was nice to have him back with us. He picked up the heat race win. Blake Snyder and Wesley Hotelling. So, I guess.
I'd like to tell you, so this car that Nick got, so they pulled that car out of the weeds. They took it home, they fired it up, it started up, they threw a number on it and brought it. They did not even change the oil in that car. And that car's been sitting in the weeds for a couple of years now.
Old Cody Baker
Figured.
car, right?
Yep. It was an old Cody Baker car. They drug it out of the weeds and they took it up there. They fired it up, never even changed the oil in it. He jumped into it and said, "I'm headed to Woodhull." There you go.
If anybody knows Nick Brown, that's something you can definitely see him doing.
You're right. Absolutely. Yep.
I think that does it. But then we had intermission, or well, I guess the Warrior feature. I always do that. I always look at, because this sheet has all my heat wins on it, and this sheet's got all the features, and the Warriors is over here, and then I forget. So the
Oh,
Warrior
geez.
feature, well, Caden Thomas started up front, and he did a great job. Ended up picking up his first career victory lane, which was pretty emotional for him. I know his sister, she got hers earlier, and so that's a pretty neat deal for them.
It is. I think what was hers 3 weeks ago, or was hers the first week, maybe?
Yes.
So she got her very first win the first week, and then this was our fourth race, and then her brother has now won his first race. So that's pretty cool for that family. They've definitely done their homework this year. They got their cars are on point, and they've been driving the wheels off of them too, have.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing too. I don't know how many people were at the practice. Well, was it this year or last year? But
Last year.
it's pretty amazing to see the kid from where he started and to where he is now. So that's pretty amazing. He did a great job. So hats off to him.
Yep, for
So
sure.
Caden Thomas picked up his first feature win. Bella Morseman was second, and Courtney Thomas third. So then we went into intermission. Russell Morseman the fourth was our Southern Tier Custom Driver of the Week. I think Scott McRae was supposed to be our Hard Luck Award, but he didn't show up, so he didn't get the award.
Right. Yep.
Which I think, if anybody, the both of them deserved it. I know that Joe Berzel probably had a claim for the Driver of the Week, but second youngest ever to win in a big block, small block race, youngest ever in a big block's pretty rare. That's
Right.
it kind
I
of.
actually, yeah, I sat down with Joe earlier in the week last week and was talking to him, and I kind of brought it up to him, and we talked about it a little bit, and that's exactly what he said to me. He said, "Are you kidding? That's not even comparable. What that young man did was way better than anything I could have done." He said, "Whether he rolled the car, got it, come back out in the feature and won it." And he's like, "That still is nothing compared to what that kid did in that modified. He put on a heck of a show that night." And Bird's right. He did. That kid, he was solid every lap. So
Right.
he definitely deserved it.
Can you hear my baby in the background?
Nope,
She
I
is
can't.
throwing a fit right now.
Maybe she wants to be on the
yeah, maybe.
podcast.
So then we went in, yep, so that was our intermission. And then the first feature out was a hometown excavation crate sportsman.
Wait, we did the King of the Bull Ring.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We did the King of the Bull Ring.
Yeah, we did.
Well, I'm glad you're
Tommy
paying
Stock.
attention. So what was it? This was the King of the Bull Ring for the hobby stocks, sponsored by Perfection Tree Care and Service and Palmarosa Farms.
Right.
Yep.
Both are drivers in that class too. Both of them are.
And it was fun because I guess Mike Palmer, the owner of Palmarosa Farms, and his son got to fight in the first round, so that was a lot of fun.
They did, and I think Dad got beat out by his son right in the first round too. So I haven't talked to him about it this week, but I'm sure I will before the week's
Yeah,
over.
I said in the announcer's tower that they said that they would wreck each other for the king of the or of the for a feature win on the podcast before, so I said, I wonder what they do in the first round of a King of the Bull Ring, but nobody wrecked each other,
Right.
so
Yeah, I know. And I honestly, I couldn't feel bad for the dad, Mike Palmer, because Mike has that maple syrup place up there, right? And they've had this maple syrup all year, this peach infused maple syrup. They've got blueberry, I believe. There's a couple different flavors. He has owed me a bottle of it and has not given it to me all season. So I'm done sticking up for him. I can't stick up for the guy. I can't feel bad for him that he lost to his son when he didn't bring me any maple syrup.
So look out,
I hear
Mikey.
everybody tells me how great his syrup is, and here I've been wanting to try it and I can't, so I don't know.
So Brandon Conklin, he ended up with the win. And I'm trying to remember who he beat in the last round. Was it Joe? Was
Birdsall,
it Birdsall?
he beat Joe Birdsall. I sat with him on the infield. He drew his chip and he drew the pole. And I said, Brandon, I'm not sure this is an instance where you want the pole. You don't want to let Joe Birdsall on the outside of you in the next round. He's like, absolutely, I get it. He said, my intentions are if I could just get in front of him, I'm moving up the track and I'm going to take that high side away from him. And that's exactly what he did. He took it away and boy, if he wouldn't have, Joe would have put on a show for the fans. I can tell you that.
Yes, he would have.
Joe loves that high side.
Yeah, that's where he always is. So I guess now we can get in. You got anything else, or can we go into the
Nope, you can go right in the features.
all right, so hometown excavation crate sportsman. Welty Todd Titus, he led for I believe a lap. Dale Welty got by him. Caution came out on lap 5. On the restart, Kenny Peoples Jr., I believe, restarted fourth. And he made a move on the high side of 1 and 2 that, boy, he's lucky it worked out, because I don't think if it worked out of that, he would have had that car in one piece. Because he sent
Yep.
that thing in there really hard and he made it work and he ended up taking the lead. And he kind of brought Caden Lawson along with him. And those two would never really look back. And so Kenny Peoples Jr. picked up his second win of the year. Caden Lawson was second. Dale Welty third, Todd Titus fourth, and Tony Harrison, the sportsman, was fifth. Anything there?
No, I don't think so. It was a really good race. Yeah, and there wasn't a lot to complain about or talk about there. It was a good, solid race.
Yeah, a couple of guys. It was nice to see Caden Lawson back, Dale Welty back.
Right.
Scott Torbett was there. Nice to see them guys. I know, like you said earlier, some people came because of rainouts, and I know some of them are run over on at Outlaw on Friday nights, and that probably with them raining out as much as we have this year probably played a role in some of them. So, but
Right.
it's always nice to have them guys there.
It is. It is.
So let's see here, what do we got next? Next up, we did the Rush Crate late models, Southern Tier Customs Rush Crate late models. I don't know how I forgot the sponsor. I'm looking right at him. So Brett
Hate to
Murray.
see you lose your job over something like
Yeah, I know
that,
it. So Brett Marlatt, he started on the pole. And I guess I'll let you take it from here. We
Oh,
better
goodness.
address it, so.
Yes, absolutely. So I did want to address this tonight. So here's the deal on this. So there were some people that brought it up that Brett's car wouldn't start. Brett came down to the tower before the race even started and told us that his starter went on his car and his car wouldn't start, and then he needed a push start. So one of our push trucks went up, push started him, and he went down in the lineup, and then he came out on the track and he started the race. He went on and he won the race. Now, people complained that he shouldn't have been able to start, or he should have lost his starting position due to the fact that he didn't start the car from his starter. Okay. Now, with that being said, the first thing that came to my mind was, hey, listen, we let sprint cars, we do this with sprint cars every time they're here, right? We have to push start them to get them started. And there's never a complaint. So I immediately I had the rule book and I kind of went through it trying to find it, and I couldn't find what I was looking for in there. I went through the Rush rule book because in that class we follow the Rush rules. I did not find anything in there, but I will tell you, this is my take on this. Okay. When I'm at that track on Saturday night and a driver pulls in there with the car, he has so much money invested in that car and he's there to race. I want him to race. I want him to be able to compete as many laps as he could possibly compete. Now, that being said, if his starter isn't working, okay. So, I think back on the rule and I'm like, so what would we have that rule for? And I thought about it and I come up with the idea that obviously we have that rule because we don't want to delay the race. We're not looking to, delay a race because a guy's car won't start. Well, that wasn't the case. We didn't delay the race for him. We started it, he got down there. I would do this for any driver that's up there. And I'm here to tell you, if you're sitting in lineup and all of a sudden they tell you to go on the track and your car won't start, I'm sending a push truck up there to push you to get you going because I want you to race. I don't want to send a guy home because his starter isn't running when we give him a push start and he could go out and compete and have fun that evening. Now, let's not forget, I mean, I get it that there's points involved and I get all that, but we're also there to let everybody have fun, right? That's the main reason we're there. And I don't want anybody to go home that because their starter wasn't working. That was my thought at the time. Are we always going to make 100% correct calls? No, we're not. And I'm going to own up to it when I make a mistake. And about 5 minutes before we came on the air for this podcast, I actually found the rule in Rush that says the starter has to work. Now, with that being said, it's a little late now. I can't do a whole lot about it now. Okay, so that's food for thought. I'm going to put it in there. But I have to do this all over again. I'm going to help the guy out because that's what we want to do at Woodhull. We don't want to turn guys away. I want them to be able to come race. And if it's something like that's that minute, then I think we should help them, and we should help them get out there and have fun and compete. That's what we want. We want the competition, That's kind of my take on it, Joe. I don't know. I'm going to stand with that call. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. I'm the one that'll take the heat for it, I guess, but that's okay. I'm all right with that.
Well, you know what they say about opinions, and so I'll give you mine. My opinion is that any driver up there, I think they'll all tell you that I talk to most of them every week, and I like to say that I don't play favorites. I would never do anything based on anybody. So my thought is that if you have a problem in the pit lineup and you're sitting there and you don't go, I would think that we'd send somebody up there. They try to push you off, and if you can't get it by the time they come back around and they push you back into the pits, well, then that's where it ends. And it takes one lap. It wouldn't take whoever very long to get back to their spot. It doesn't hold the day up, and at the end, as long as you do it for everybody, then I don't think there's an issue. And I believe, I could be wrong here, but I believe we pushed Stacy Jackson earlier this year. And to my knowledge, I thought the rule book just said that you had to take the green, and I kind of looked at that as kind of a gray area. So there's
Right,
my
that's kind
opinion
of.
on it. I know the announcer's opinion doesn't matter to anybody, but I don't want to see if Marshall O'Brien starts on the pole and he's got a very fast car and he ended up where he could have been in position to win the feature race. I don't want to take that away from him because his starter went. That's where
Right.
I stand on it.
Right, absolutely. We're not, I don't want to delay the race, and I don't want Brett Marlatt to come back the next 2 weeks in a row and do the same thing and say, hey, I need you to push start me because I haven't had a chance to change my starter. No, that's not what we're looking for. But I don't, somebody has a little misfortune, I don't want to tell them that, hey, you can't race, you know. Nobody wants that. They got too much money in their cars to let them set. If they want to, they come there to race, let's get them out there and let's let them put a show on for the fans, you know. That's what we're all there for in the end anyway. Now, like you said, if you push a car out and you push it around the track and it doesn't start, well, now you're delaying the start of the race. That's a little bit different. Okay, and I kind of get that. But again, if you don't start on the starting line up there, you know, normally we go 2 laps before we go green anyway. So in that 2 laps, we can get a push truck up there to you to push start you to get you going. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. And again, I don't care who it is. It's, you know, and like I said, that's my class. I sponsor that class. And I'll tell you right now, I would do the same thing again. I'd do it for every driver out there. So.
All right, well, we'll move on from that. Brett Marlatt, so he started in the pole and he led the whole way. Steve LeBaron finished second, Rich McNeil third, Brian Knowles fourth, Marshall O'Brien fifth. So good night out for Brian Knowles and the first time in his car. Good run for Marshall O'Brien getting the top five. And Steve LeBaron and Rich McNeil, they're both veterans that, you know, they're going to be there at the end. So
Yep,
Brett
for
Marlatt
sure.
picked up his second win of the season. Well, anything else on that or?
No, I want to say I talked to Marshall O'Brien earlier in the week, or I talked to his dad, and they were on the phone with their chassis builder, and they were changing a bunch of stuff. And obviously, it worked for him. That car was definitely a lot faster, looked good. If he keeps in that direction that he was in the other night, you're going to see him keep improving. In no time, he's going to be right up there. And, you know, the same thing goes to Ricky Laux. You know, I know that they sent their car out this week to their chassis builder, or one of them. They sent it out and had a bunch of work done onto it and a bunch of adjusting on it. And they brought it back and they really fine-tuned that car. He looked good too. You know, they both of them look good. So let's hope that it continues on that way in the whole class. I mean, the whole class looked good. So.
Absolutely, and it was nice to see Wyatt White too
Oh,
for
yes,
his first
absolutely. I
time out.
forgot
So.
about that. Yeah, so Ted White, the former owner of Woodhull Raceway, his son showed up in his rookie year in a late model, and he looked really good going around the track too. He was definitely impressive, and his heat, he looked very well. So,
All right, so we'll move on to our in-singer performance modifieds. So Brian Doolittle, he ended up leading the first few laps. Him and Greg Turner started on the front row. So Brian Doolittle led, I believe, the first 8 laps, and then there was a caution on lap 9. So I guess he led 9, then there's a yellow. And Brian Doolittle was kind of fighting for his life, holding off Dayton Brewer at this point. And I kind of wondered once Dayton Brewer got side by side on the restart if he didn't wouldn't be able to get by him, and he did. So when they went back to green, Brewer took over the lead. Then there's a yellow on lap 11. Carter Crooker was able to get by Brian Doolittle as well. After the yellow, Crooker ends up taking the lead. After, as my partner John Lubick would say, Dayton Brewer checked into the Heartbreak Hotel, and I believe he got a flat. I don't. Did he get it during the race or when we were under yellow?
I think that's when they noticed it. It was under yellow, I believe, if I remember right.
Yeah, so tough break there for Dayton Brewer. And then Carter Crooker takes over the lead. I think that car was on a rail. Yellow comes out on lap 21, but that car was just too stout. Class of the field, and you know, I maybe Dayton could have held him off. I don't know, but that car was very fast. Picked up the heat race win earlier, and that's so Carter Crooker with his first modified win ever.
Right. Now, I'll tell you, Dayton did have a fast car, but there was no denying Crooker when he was coming up through that field that that car was on the move and he was coming.
Yeah, so that's 2 weeks in a row that 2 weeks in a row that the somebody got their first ever modified win at Woodhull. So that's a pretty neat thing. I don't know if I've ever had that in since I've been announcing. So that's pretty neat.
Right.
I also do want to say that I said it about Teddy, so I want to say it about Russell too. Russell, I think you might have got away with one with hitting Jake Jin from behind. And I think you both were banging on each other, and I don't know who. I think maybe I don't know if you want to touch on that, but I think I
Yeah.
said the same thing about Teddy, so I better say it about Russell too.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, all in all, like I said, I had a meeting today with Terry and Nicky, and the first thing I said to him was, if there's a way, let's do it. I want the modifieds running dead last next week because they deserved it. That race was terrible. We harped on the Great Sportsmans a couple weeks ago, but the modifieds weren't any better the other night. That was absolutely terrible. Everybody was banging into everybody. There was a lot of it going on. There was a lot of I heard a lot of yelling on the radio from the tower, yelling at drivers, to back off, use your head. And they just drivers weren't doing it. Everybody was they were out for blood, I guess. And yeah, nobody was listening, and they just kept hitting each other. It was absolutely terrible. It was. And again, I even mentioned once during the race that let's pull them off and let's set them on the infield and let them set for a little bit. Don't get me wrong, I love the modified class. It's one of my favorite classes, but geez, guys, let's have fun. Let's not tear up each other's equipment. That stuff, the equipment costs way too much just to tear it up like we did the other night, But yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say on it. It definitely wasn't my favorite class on Saturday night, and yeah.
So, like I said, Carter Crooker, he picked up his first win. Brady Foltz is second. Aiden Grover, nice run for him, was third. Fourth was Brian Doolittle, and Stacy Jackson was fifth. Like you said, just a lot of yellows, it seemed like. And I think even Carter said it in Victory Lane. He said he thought that the race was never going to end. But, we'll move on. Hopefully, we'll do better next week. And I guess now we can get into another class that. I think in Victory Lane, the winner said that he thought that it would never end. The IMCA Modifieds. And this was, and like you said before, I said it about the Sportsmen. We said it about the Modifieds. The IMCAs are two for two on just not having a good night. I don't know if it, and it seemed like right off the bat, these guys would try to dive under everybody right at the start. Nobody would give each other any room. Lap one, I think we had them piled up in turn one,
We did,
coming to the
I
green.
so Yeah, so I would like to touch on this a little bit. Okay, so earlier in the night, before we started the races, we'd had a ton of rain this week. We were a little bit concerned about the track. When Saturday came, we said, okay, let's commit to racing tonight, but the track was in terrible shape. We couldn't even get on the track. I mean, obviously we had already worked the track up earlier in the week and everything was set. That's not the issue. But on Saturday, at noon, we still could not get on that track. It was still too wet to put anything on that track. So, with that being said, when we did finally get stuff on there and started packing the track and started working it in, then when I went to the driver's meeting, Terry Brewer called me and said, you better get cars out there. That track's drying out in a hurry now. Because we couldn't get on it, we couldn't water it. Now, just because the track is crappy and slippery doesn't mean that it's full of water, which is what we need. We need to get water in there to hold it through the night. We couldn't get enough water in it. So I was pretty worried that we were going to have a really dry, slick racetrack that was going to be dustier than heck. And we didn't. The track was pretty decent. When they went out for the heat lap, for the heat races, the track was actually really decent and cars were actually able to run onto it. Now, with that being said, when feature time came, the temperatures dropped, it got dark, the track really slicked over, started to get a little bit slippery. Now, this is where I'm going to cut the IMCA's a break because these guys don't have the laps at Woodhull Raceway. This is their first full year at Woodhull. There's a lot of them that have only been there a couple times, right? So they're not used to this. I don't believe there was one of them guys that set their car up for a slick track. And it was pretty slippery out there. It wasn't dry at all. There was some moisture in it and it got slippery. And I don't think any of them guys had their car set up for that because they weren't used to it. It changed 150 degrees from the heat as far as what I was seeing. And I think that was the problem with them guys is they couldn't handle it. Their car was set up for like it was in the heats and it was nothing like that in the feature. And I mean, some of it was give and take. There wasn't a lot of give and take with these guys, but what? I not setting their cars up didn't help. These guys got to get some experience on that track, but we've also got to use our heads out there and put on a good show for the fans. If you can't put a good show on for the fans, then we're in trouble. So,
Right,
yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
and I will say 17 IMCA showed up. I think that's the most sense. I think that beats out most of the tour races we've had. I mean,
Right, right.
so I will say that good job on them guys for coming out and trying. You know, and I just had to say it because you know what? I've said it about every other class, so I got to
Yep.
do it when I got to do it. I got to be fair to everybody.
That's right.
So
Absolutely.
getting into the recap here a little bit, there's just a lot of cautions at the beginning of this race, and then I think we made the decision to kind of put the hammer down on these guys, and then once then that kind of they seemed to listen, I guess, because then we were able to reel off a lot of green flag laps. Earl Zimmer, he was able to take over the top spot.
And that's the one I really wanted to touch on because I really felt bad for this guy. Only his second time ever in an IMCA car, right? He won the heat, right? Now he comes back out for the feature and he's leading and he has his dry shaft brakes in his car, ends his night early after he was leading. I mean, that car looked good. He was fast and yeah, he was really looking good. I really thought this was going to be it. He was going to pull it off. And he was pretty disappointed in the car when I got to him. And we called for a wrecker to come up to lift him up to pull him into pits. He was pretty disappointed, that's for sure. Adrenaline was definitely high on his end. And I can't say that I blame him.
Right. So then Jacob Ingham, he took over the race lead, and it got to the point where I was starting to wonder. So I sent a message to Jake Maynard, and I said, "Has Jacob Ingham ever won a race?" It turns out he won some sort of race, but he said it wasn't IMCA sanctioned. So it would have been his first ever IMCA sanctioned race, but Keith Lamphere, who was involved in an earlier caution, drove right through the field to the front, and he took the lead on lap 13. And I think Jacob Ingham, once he got by him, well, he did everything he could to hold him off, and then he did everything to try to get back by him. One time I thought Ingham was going to throw it in a little harder and take them both out, but he was able to get on the brakes and didn't touch him. So I from what I see, I think they're pretty good friends too, but you know, I think Keith's probably, at least from what I've seen, he seems to be really know his way around Woodhull and you know, and the IMCA cars in general.
Right.
So Keith Lamphere picked up the win. Jacob Ingham was second. Jacob McConnell third. I know he's got a huge hometown crowd always with him. James Lamphere was fourth, and Jay McConnell was fifth. So there's your top five for the IMCAs.
That's actually Jacob's dad. It's a father and son team that
Yeah,
races, which is pretty neat.
I thought it was, but I wasn't exactly sure, so I didn't want to be wrong. I was gonna
Yep,
keep my
yep.
mouth sh I was gonna keep my mouth shut rather than be wrong.
I want to go back to the hot dog night. Did we already talk about the dollar hot dog night?
Yeah, at the
We
beginning.
did because all right, because I was just thinking about that and I was like, you know, that Kyle Lowry, the one that donated the hot dogs, he was telling me what a great hot dog eater he was, but I think he only had five hot dogs. So yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. But between him and Greg Turner both, they couldn't beat me. I don't know. Wesley Hotaling wanted to get in it. So I think we might have to do this $1 hot dog night again pretty soon. And when we do, we might have to have a hot dog eating competition. I think that we should do it right on the front straight away.
Intermission.
Right. Absolutely. We could do that. Yep. But I just got to know like a week in advance because I won't eat for a whole week until so that I'm prepared.
You might want to eat a week before, you know. You might walking in there looking like you're gonna pass out.
All right, you go ahead. Sorry I delayed.
So the Lad Road Hobby Stocks, they were next feature event. And I'm gonna say this, you know what? I said that I owed Brian Austin an apology for picking him to win. Now you owe one for Jason Warner because you picked him in the King of the Ring and he
I
slipped you
did.
in the poll, and look how that turned out for him.
I did. I yeah, absolutely. You know what? And I don't even know, something was going on because I missed this rock and it was on the first lap, correct?
Yeah,
And
coming out of four.
yeah,
Right
I
when you get the
missed
flag
it.
stand.
Yep, I had to run up to the pits for something and I completely missed this whole rock. But
Well,
yeah,
from my point of view, I can't tell you what happened. I don't know. It looked to me like either the guy behind Jason got into him and turned him in front of the field, or he moved up in front of the guy in second. I don't know exactly. It's kind of when they're coming down the front stretch like that and they're side by side, it is a little hard to tell exactly who made contact with who. I will say that I looked at Jason Warner's Facebook post, and he did say that somebody else was the reason, so I don't know exactly what happened there. I know a lot of times drivers blame other people. Could be the fact, I don't know. But I do know that he got turned around, and it was a pretty scary deal because it had the entire field right in front of him, and Joe Birdsall made hard contact with his door. And that's kind of one of those that you never really want to see right there in the door shot. Well,
You're right.
so I can't tell you exactly what happened, but I know that it sucked for Jason, and I'm sure it sucked for Bird, and I guess that's about it for that.
It did. Yeah, and it did ring Jason's bell pretty good. We ended up having to have an ambulance come and check him out and get checked out, which we never like to see. We hate to see that ever happen, but he was okay. He walked away afterward. So.
Right. So Brandon Conklin, Dylan Phillip, they quickly made their way to the front by lap two. Conklin actually took the lead on lap two. Then on lap three, Phillip was able to get back by him. And I've said it before, these hobby stocks, when you get those guys, I don't know what it is, but it seems like one and two just put on one hell of a show every week. And Dylan Phillip and Brandon Conklin did just that. Phillip was able to hold him off for most of the race. I think probably what 17 laps, and then Brandon Conklin led. What's that coming out of? Or what do you think he led there? 6 inches
Yeah,
of a feature. He picked up the
if
win.
that it was right, absolutely. If you were sitting in them stands and you watched that finish and you're not a fan of the hobby stocks, if you weren't a fan of them hobby stocks, you got to be now because that was one of the best shows we've seen in a long time right there.
Yeah,
They were definitely close.
somehow he actually beat it actually beat out the Joe Birdsall Brandon Conklin finish.
Yeah, right, absolutely,
I
yep.
thought that was a race of the year contender, and then the next time they come out, they ended up beating it.
That whole class, and that's what's great. That whole class, they all get along. They all get along in that class, and it's a fun class. They all seem to be having fun, and the competition is just amazing.
Right.
So
Yeah,
it's definitely a fun class to watch.
I have it written down here that Conklin won by a nose, but it might have been like my nose.
Right.
So Brandon Conklin, he wins. Dylan Phillip a second. Joe Birdsall with a pretty good rebound after taking that hard contact with Jason Warner was third. Scott Brown finished fourth, and Rhys Hackett was fifth. Bill Williams. It's cool to see Bill Williams back.
Yep, and Steve.
Yeah, and Steve. You got anything more on the?
Well, I can tell you this. So I heard that Steve Williams, so he dug Hunter's hobby stock out and decided that he was going to bring it out to Woodhull to have some fun with it. And I heard that a couple hours before the races started, they had the motor all tore apart in the garage working on it. And
Really?
he said he was going to get it back together so that he could race tonight, and he did. He got it back together, and he showed up with it, and yeah, he went out and had some fun. It's good to see him back there too.
So now we can move on to the final feature of the night, the Wicked Tees Quad C. The Bradley Morseman, well, Glenn Van Cise would start on the pole. Bradley Morseman would start second. Bradley Morseman, he'd lead for the first part of the race. Yellow comes out on lap number four. Then Nate Freeland takes over the lead on lap six. And Freeland was able to hold off pretty much every challenger. I think Nick Brown kind of tried to challenge him for a little while. Blake Snider gave him one hell of a run, but Freeland was able to hold him off for his first feature win of 2025. Blake Snider was second, downtown Nick Brown third, fourth was Wesley Hoteling, and Trevor Putt was fifth.
Yeah, that Nate Freeland, if you've been watching him the last couple of weeks, you knew it was only a matter of time he would end up in victory lane. That car's been hooked up. He's been running great with it. He's been using his head. He's been smooth. And yeah, it was time. It was time. I definitely knew that he was gonna have one under his belt pretty soon.
Well, I and one other thing that I do want to mention is on my way home. On my way home from the races, I pulled out, I let a hauler go in front of me. And so I'm following this hauler down, what's that, 417, right towards Jasper.
Yes.
So I'm following this hauler, and this deer runs right out in front of it. And he hits his brakes and he moves over and he just misses this little fawn. And I'll tell you one thing, Glenn Van Sice was still in race mode when he missed that deer. Because he just, I don't know how he just about clobbered that thing. And with a truck and a trailer, I ended up messaging him and I said, "Hey, good job missing that deer. You were heads up driving there."
Yeah, it's definitely that time of year, that's for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, I couldn't believe it. Well, Terry, anything else that you have? Well, I guess hold on, let me thank the Elk La Moose Lodge, Trowbridge Construction, and Welsh Well Drilling one more time before we move on to what we got coming up. And Terry, do you know what we got coming up?
So we got just a regular show next week, and it's Carquest Automotive is the sponsor next week. And let me see here. S&D Pool Specialist is next week also. Both of them are coming up. We have the Southern Tier Customs King of the Bull Ring. Geez, I guess I've got to reach deep down in my pocket. I'm putting $400 up for the King of the Ring next Saturday night for the late model. So let's hope that's a good show. And then I think, oh, you know what? We're also doing autograph night next week. So we want
Yes,
to
we
remind
are.
all the fans to come out for autograph night so you can meet your favorite driver down on the front stretch and get their autograph. And I think we also threw in the four-cylinder King of the Bull Ring, I think is going to be next week also. So it looks like it's going to be a pretty busy night with some real good racing again. So let's hope the weather cooperates. We're hoping 2 weeks in a row, we're going to try to set a record for 2025. So yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, so I'll tell you one thing, you're gonna be pretty busy over at your shop. If you got so you got two big checks to do, and you're gonna have to make all these hero cards for all these drivers.
Oh, gee. Well, so yeah, most of the hero cards are already done because we got rained out on autograph night. I do have a couple more
Oh.
that ordered some this week, but yeah, for the most part, most everybody's got them and they're looking eagerly awaiting the fans to come so that they can sign these autograph cards and hand them out. There should be quite a few of them on the front stretch that'll all be down there. And again, we'll open the gate up and we give the fans, I think we give them about a half hour to go down, walk through the cars, meet your favorite driver, get a picture taken if you want, and get an autograph signed. And now I will be down there, but I will not be signing autographs, I don't think. I don't think I'm going to have time. So we'll have to schedule my autograph night a different night, but you can get all the drivers this week, no problem.
Yeah, I've only got asked to sign one of those in my lifetime. So, shout out to that kid who asked me. I sure you got his name.
Yeah. Well, see, my every time they want my autograph, it's never for anything good. I don't know. I don't know. They ask me to sign something. I normally have to. I have to get worried.
Yeah, so that's next weekend. That's June 14th. June 21st, it's unbelievable because I think we've got, what, four races in. We're already at the mid-season championship race of remembrance. And that is
Yep.
extra $200 to the feature winners.
Yes, to the feature winner.
Feature
And
winner.
we're going to have the Racer Remembrance signs again like we did last year. I'm hoping to have them out this week so we can get them posted where people can see them and people can order them, and you can get anybody you want, any loved one. You can get their picture on one of these yard signs. It'll cost $25, and we're going to display them all there at the track. And as the night ends, you can come and grab your sign that you paid for, and you can take it home with you and put it in your yard at home if you want. So it's actually a cool deal. We've done it for the last couple of years. It's worked very well. It keeps getting bigger and bigger every year. So it's interesting to see all the different drivers out there, you know, the different people that used to race at Woodhull that don't anymore. Whether, and they don't even have to be passed away. It could be just somebody who loved the track and was a huge fan who was there every week, and now they don't come to the races anymore. Maybe you want to get a sign for them. I mean, it could be anybody. So,
Right,
yeah.
and that'll be sponsored by Southern Tier Customs and RLB Trucking. And then I do want to touch on this June 28th. June 28th, Jim Williams Memorial, iPyro back in the house for the fireworks show. Woodhull Volunteer Fire Department, they always do a chicken barbecue. Best fireworks show in the Northeast. So I BH Log Hauling TP's Concrete on that. I mean, if you're gonna. I'd say if you're going to come to one race all year, you're crazy, but you might as well make it the firework night.
Oh yeah, that's definitely a night that you don't want to miss. And you want to get there early because the place will sell out. It'll fill up quick in there.
Right. And
Definitely a
then,
show you don't want to miss.
yeah, and then I think we, so I guess I'm not sure. We probably should have talked to, you probably should have talked to Nikki before we got on about the thing, but we'll have to see. I know we always get calls for advanced ticket sales and that kind of stuff. We'll fill you in when we know.
Yeah,
That's what I got. That's
I'm
what I
sure
got
there'll
for you
be
right now.
advanced ticket sales. Yep. Well, I'm sure we'll be doing advanced ticket sales, and I'm sure we'll be doing advanced reserve seating. Or we do it like the Friday night before. But it's going to be just like it is every year, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I just and then I do want to say that July 4th weekend, that's July 5th this year, we're off every year. We take that weekend off every year, so no racing that weekend. However, if you do want to travel 3 hours away, you can watch me run in a demolition derby.
Oh, there you go. We may just have to do that. Maybe
I
we could do the podcast and go live with you there.
yeah, I'm not very good. I'm what you call a field filler.
Nothing wrong
Not at
with
all. All right.
that.
Well,
Joe Bertzel used to be a field filler too. So, and look
Terry.
where it got him, all them years of experience.
Yeah,
So,
you got to start somewhere, right?
that's right. Absolutely. I do have one more thing I want to talk about because we have, I don't know if anybody's noticed the yard signs that are down at the fence
Oh, yes. Joe and
on the
Gene, I owe you an
edge of the
apology.
track. Yes. So that is, those are gold sponsors, I believe they are, for the Woodhull 100, the Street Stock 100 lap race that's put on by Joe and Gene Wilcox of Wilcox Automatic Performance. And yeah, they, anybody is interested, you can stop at the fan club on Saturday nights, and you can talk to Gene right there. Joe's usually walking around. They can tell you all about it. They can show you everything that they've got going and what's going on. And I can't remember the price of it. To be honest with you, but there is a, yeah. But you, anyway, you can buy one of them yard signs for your business, and the sooner you do it, the more advertising you get because it gets fastened to the fence down front, and it's going to stay there for the season until the race. So,
Yeah, and I guess
kind of
another
something.
thing, you might want to wait a week because Joe and Gene are on vacation.
Right? Yeah.
But I do want to give a shout out to Tara Gardner who stepped up for the Woodhull fan booth. And you know
Yes.
what? Her husband was off. We gave the street stocks the week off, and I know that sucks because we've got nothing but rain. And it was
Yeah.
finally sunny and beautiful, and they had the night off. But so I do want to give a shout out to her for, even though her husband was off, for coming to the races and helping us out with that while Joe and Gene are on vacation.
Yeah, it does. It was. I received a, I got a message earlier in the week from Mick Seely that was like, "You guys are finally gonna get a night when we can race, and we're off that night." It's so disappointing, and
I
I
know.
couldn't agree with him more. It's been a terrible year for us. 5 rainouts already, but we're not alone. It's every track in the Northeast has had the same problem. So, yeah, let's hope that it's turned around now and the rain's gonna quit, and hopefully we can get some good racing in.
Yeah, I hope so, 'cause I told Mick and I told Mike Williams this too. I think the right idea was there. Giving these guys the week off and planning it out so that they could kind of, decide to do whatever they want to do. But it just so happened that we haven't been able to race in forever. And then,
Yep.
just the way it happened, and it sucks, but you know what? You can't add them back now. It is
Right.
what it is, I guess.
Well, here's the other thing about that. So we gave him the night off, right? Now, if you think about this, with Joe and Gene's big race, the 100 lap street stock race, with all them sponsors down there putting all that money in, So the pot is really getting pretty large right now. I know that they're over halfway to what they set their goal to, and they still got a lot of time left to go. So they're going to make this the highest paying, richest street stock race in the Northeast. So you're going to have street stocks that are going to come to this race from all over the place. They're going to come just for the chance at this big money. So maybe given the week off, maybe some of our drivers were able to spend some time tuning their cars, working on them, getting them all dialed up, getting them ready for that big race. So let's hope it helped them.
Right, and I'll say one thing too, Joe. I would say Joe's probably one of the most well-respected people in racing. So I think you might just get I think you'd get some street stock guys just on name value alone. And then when he's going out of his way to add this much money and raise this much money for a race like that, and there's not a lot of long distance races for these guys, I think he'll end up being really rewarded with the count that we should get.
Oh, I believe so. I believe so. Yep. I think if I remember right, 2 years ago I did this race and I think I had 24 cars, and I'm sure he's gonna have more than that. I'm sure. The
Yeah.
way it's
Joe's a
been
lot
going
nicer of
and
a guy than you are, so yeah.
that being said, if anybody now I so now I have the late model class. If anybody would like to put up big money for that, we could do a big race for the late models too. So I'll definitely have to work on that maybe for next year.
Well, Terry, is there anything else you got for this week, or are we about ready to wrap this thing up?
I think we're about ready to wrap it up. I'm ready to go to dinner. I'm starting to get hungry, so
Boy, I ate before we got on.
I wish I had. So
Once again, I want to give a big shout out to the Elkland Moose Lodge, Trowbridge Construction, Welsh Well Drilling, and the Lowry Family Farms for, well, this week's presenting sponsor and for donating a whole boatload of hot dogs for the Dollar Hot Dog Night. And I do want to remind everybody to like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Follow us on the Woodhull Raceway Facebook page and Woodhull Raceway 64 on TikTok. Terry, thank you very much.
Joe, wait a minute, Joe. Joe, wait a minute. Did I
Okay.
tell you that I had seven hot dogs and that I
No,
beat Greg Turner? Did I tell you that? And Kyle Lowry? I beat both of them. Did I already tell you that?
no.
I
Say it one
just
more
wanted to
time.
bring that up.
What'd you
I just
do?
wanted to bring that up before we got off the
Right,
air.
you.
Matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going to make a trophy for myself.
That's
Just
good.
for the hot dog eating competition that I had.
Can anybody verify the count?
Well, just me. I mean, I can. I mean, I was I supposed to have somebody that was counting?
Well, no, it just seven's a lot for that little frame. Well, Terry, thank you very much. I appreciate you making time here on a Monday evening.
Absolutely, Joe. You have a great night. We'll talk to you next Saturday night.
Yes, sir.